another message about All in the Family. And while I'll be talking about the grandsons, it will also have a lot to do with grandparents. So listen in 1 Chronicles chapter 3, first of all. I'll read there, and then as we go along, and as time allows, I'll tell you about three grandsons and three grandparents, as time allows. Verse 1. Now, these were the sons of David that were born unto him in Hebron. And then it tells who his sons were. It says in verse 2, the third, Absalom, the son of Maacah, the daughter of Talmai, king of Geshur. The fourth, Adonijah, the son of Haggith. The fifth, and so forth. And finally, we get down to verse 5. And these were born unto him in Jerusalem, Shimeah and Shobab, and Nathan and Solomon, four of Bathshua, the daughter of Amiel. Now there is another scripture that I should read, but I will wait, and let's pray and then continue. Our Father, indeed we are thankful that our brother is reported that all is well. Let us know how, in thy word, Ezekiel had loved ones that were taken from his side, friends and wife, and their sorrows around us continually. And so, Father, in thy goodness, indeed, bless thy child, call him. And thou dost have those who are well here, and thy son has said, if you love me, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. And that is what we would do tonight, feed lambs and feed sheep. So give them a good spiritual appetite, our Father, and then give them good food from thy word. We confess our sins. Be faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness and illumine us and prepare hearts and lips and give us an enjoyable hour this night, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. Now, let me ask you, if I mentioned Shobab, and if I mentioned Absalom, and if I mentioned King Azariah, could you tell me who their grandparents were? Well, do you know who Shobab is? Well, do you know who Solomon is? Shobab is one of Solomon's brothers, his full brother. David had ever so many wives, and because of that, there were brothers, full brothers, and sisters, but there were ever so many half-brothers and sisters. And the one that we know about is Solomon, the second born of, you say, but that was Bathsheba. That's what we're going to have to look into later. But Shobab was one of Solomon's three brothers. God tells us about the birth of Solomon, about the death of that firstborn child, for which David cried unto God, spare that child's life. But God took that child away. And later, of Bathsheba, Solomon was born, and Shobab, and two other brothers. So, when I said, who is the grandfather of Shobab, it's the same as asking, who is the grandfather of Solomon? Now, one brother told me last week, but if he answers that question, he's going to have to demonstrate it from the scripture. Who is the grandfather of Solomon? Well, I'll tell you later. Who is the grandfather of King Azariah? Well, I'll have to tell you later. Isn't this a remarkable thing? Well, who is the grandfather of Absalom? So you don't know any of these things. Well, that's good. Then I'll feel free to say anything I want to about them since you know so little about them. Well, there are some illustrious grandparents, and if you had told me about Solomon, you could have said Solomon's grandfather is Jesse. If David is the son of Jesse, then his grandfather is Jesse, David, Solomon. You see, his grandfather is Jesse. But I wanted his grandfather on his mother's side. Who is the grandfather of Solomon on his mother's side? Ahithophel. Ahithophel. But if you had said it, I was going to make you show me how you knew it, because that's ever so tricky. And I may show you and I may tell you about it. But this is what will make it so fascinating, because you're reading about men like Ahithophel, and yet you do not understand the relationship that exists between them. So when you have Ahithophel, you have his son, Amiel, or another name elsewhere. We'll have to look it up, and that's what's so tricky. He is listed under two names, one name in Chronicles and another name in Samuel. And yet it has to be the same person. That is why if I said, who was the mother of Solomon, you would have said Bathsheba. But what if I said, no, Bathsheba? You would say, I never realized that, but she is called Bathsheba in 1 Chronicles, but she is called Bathsheba in 2 Samuel. It's like this. Who was the king that came and destroyed Jerusalem in 586? You would say, why, Nebuchadnezzar. Well, he's called by a different name, Nebuchadnezzar, elsewhere in the Bible, but the same man. And for this reason, and since I'm not able to tell you for certain, it may be a scribal mistake, or it may be that these men had two names. They go by different names. You who have known me recently know me by one name, but those who knew me as a boy know me by another name. And, in like manner, if you knew Jacob as a boy, you would only know Jacob. But if you saw him much later in life, and he was introduced as Israel, you would say, why, this is Jacob. And Jacob would say, this is Israel. If I said, have you ever heard of Sarai, you say, yes. Do you know Sarah? Yes. Do you know Abram? Yes. Do you know Abraham? Yes. And so that might be the solution. Or it may be that there is a scribal error in transmission of the text. There is one that we have here. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is infallible. That is in the original manuscript. But what God has done, and I rejoice in this, if there ever was a scribe who made a mistake, God has given us sufficient manuscripts to compare with it to see what is correct. And I will give you one example. If you have a father of a man who was 22 years old when he began to reign, and one text says he was 42 years old when he began to reign, and yet his father died when he was 40, and immediately his son began to reign. Could his son be 42 when his father died the day before at 40? You say it would be difficult. And so for that reason, you look at the text that says he was 22 years old. Well then, could his father have brought him forth at 18? You say, why, of course. And so then you understand which of the two designations of his age is correct. Many things you find like that. And God has made it so that we cannot be led astray. And so for that reason, you look, and that is why it was so difficult. All you have to do is to have three scriptures, and you can ascertain that Bathsheba's grandfather was Ahithophel. But if you do not have these three scriptures, you are not sure. You read about Bathsheba and Solomon, but you do not know until you read that Bathsheba was the mother of Solomon, and a man can only have one mother. And then if it says these others are his brothers, Bathsheba had four children, and one of them is Solomon, then we know who the mother is, we know who the son is, and we know who the father is. And so here are three in the scripture, and the one that is most startling is this. Who is the grandmother of King Azariah? And this is what is so frightening. His grandmother was Jezebel. And all of those things are so important because you have Azariah and you have Athaliah and you have Jezebel. You say, well, yes, I see that all of this is in the family, but what does it mean? Many of the actions, the behavior of these grandchildren can be understood only in a proper light when you understand the grandparents. Some of the behavior of the grandparents can only be understood in the light of the grandchildren. And when you put them together, you say, of course. And so for this reason, David, having ever so many wives, then of his wives, one was Maacah, the son of Talmai, the king of Geshur. Now why would I mention Talmai, king of Geshur, as being Absalom's grandfather? Can any brother possibly think of why I would bring that to your attention? Because when Absalom murdered his half-brother Amnon, it said he fled and sought refuge with Talmai, king of Geshur. Did you know he went to grandpa's house? To say, I see. Now, Absalom's sister was Tamar. His full sister was Tamar. And she was the one who had been violated by Amnon, her half-brother. And Absalom killed his half-brother, Amnon. And then he fled and sought refuge with his grandfather, Talmai. And why would his father take a murderer in? Because his granddaughter, Tamar, had been violated. You say it's the most logical thing in the world. Why, of course it is. But we don't realize that. Why does Absalom go and take refuge with a foreign king, one of whom we know nothing? We do know something. We know that Talmai was the father of Maacah, and Maacah was the mother of Absalom and Tamar. And therefore, here is this grandfather, and Absalom goes and tells of his precious granddaughter that has been violated. And what do you think any respectable, honorable grandfather would do? He would take him in, and that's just what he did. I wanted you to know that about Absalom, first of all. And so in one sense, though he was a murderer, he took vengeance in his own hands. It may well have been for this reason. I would say what I could about him. His sister was violated by an older brother, and this sister, when David, the father of Amnon, heard about it, he did absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing, and he never would do anything about it. Because David had one weakness, and that weakness was children. I see that why they had this thing turned off, perhaps. But what we have to learn is this, that even though you are the son of a king, vengeance has to be taken. Nowadays, the vengeance is this. The vengeance is in the hands of the local authority. Do you realize that there are two ministers of God? We, who stand in the pulpit, are ministers of God. But at the same time, the policeman that walks up and down the street, it says in Romans chapter 13, he is a minister of God unto thee for good. And in chapter 12, it says, beloved, let us not take vengeance, because vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And in chapter 13, that same root word is spoken of as he is an avenger of God to thee for good. And so most people think that God's vengeance is going to be taken when man stands before God and he's cast into the lake of fire. But God says, I also take vengeance in this life as well. And that's why the one whose relative was killed, there is the avenger of blood. and God gave him that right. But in the case of a king and his family, this was never done. Here is Absalom, and in one sense, since his daughter was violated, there comes out in him the same thinking and the same behavior that took place in two of Jacob's sons. Do you remember who they were? Do you remember when Dinah, the child that is named of Jacob, when she was ravished by a foreigner, it says that these deceitful sons of Jacob tricked them into being circumcised, and in the third day when they could do nothing, it says the sons went in and destroyed every male that had violated their sister Dinah. That's why it's so interesting to look back in your genealogy, because you can find somebody that probably did something that is in your mind. And so here is Absalom, and he is simply carrying out a vengeance when someone violated his sister, the same way that Levi and his brother took vengeance when someone violated their sister. It's amazing how God kept all of these things before us. And for that reason, here is grandfather, and even though it might mean war, he still takes his grandson Absalom in, and he protects him until he is recalled again to Jerusalem to the good graces at a distance of his father. I wanted you to know that about Absalom, because when King David was guilty of adultery and murder, did you see anyone rise up and take vengeance on the king? You say no. Sad to say, there are many, because of positions in life, that have exemptions from those things. And David did, and at the same time, Absalom did, and Amnon did. But though in one sense, Absalom took vengeance on Amnon, his half-brother, and David escaped, still later on, David had vengeance taken upon him by others that God raised up. It says God raised up adversaries against the household of David, because it seems as if these things go undetected and unpunished, but they do not go undetected and unpunished. All right, I spoke to you just briefly about Absalom, because we have Absalom and his sister, and then Absalom flees to Talmai, his grandfather, the father of Maacah, the mother of Absalom. Maacah was one of David's many wives. All right, let's look for a moment now about Ahithophel. I read to you in 1 Chronicles 3, listen to it again, and it says, his wives in Jerusalem, it speaks of four sons, Shimea, Shobab, Nathan, and Solomon, four of Bathsheba, the daughter of Amiel. All right. Inasmuch as there can be only one mother of Solomon the king, no matter what name is placed here, no matter what name we see, her name is Bathsheba that we know, but here she's called Bathshua, and we find that Solomon had at least three brothers. So when David took Bathsheba to wife, he did not stop having children when Solomon was born, but there were at least three other sons that were born. But now, I want you to see this name again. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 11. 2 Samuel chapter 11. Verse 2. And it came to pass at eventide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? Now, what are you going to do? You say it says Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam. Well, inasmuch as this is Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, you cannot mistake her identity. Therefore, she is called, and now we can recognize it, here is Eliam, and that is the father of Bathsheba. And so now, in the same book, turn to chapter 23,
chapter 23, and I'm going to abbreviate this for you and make it as simple as I can. And if there are more details and you want to know them, I can tell you. But in chapter 23, I want you to look over at verse 34. But first we have to look at verse 8. These are the names of the mighty man whom David had. So what we're going to read now is a list of the mighty man whom David had. Now, look at verse 34. Eliphelet, the son of Ahasbai, the son of the Maachite. Eliam, the son of Ahithophel, the Gilonite. Eliam, the son of Ahithophel. Now, if you look back at chapter 11, it says, this is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam. And so you say, then, Eliam is also called Amiel, and Bathsheba is also called Bathshua. And so we're on solid ground. And it tells us, in addition, to who the father of Bathsheba was in 2 Samuel 11. When we turn to 2 Samuel 23, we learn also who the father of Bathsheba's father was, and it was Ahithophel. You say, well, who was he? Well, he is the one when Absalom finally was given the privilege to return home after he had fled so long time, and David's heart longed for his son Absalom, and Joab, David's nephew, you remember I told you about that last week, Joab arranged to trick David into letting Absalom come back. And Absalom came back, and his father kissed Absalom, and yet there was distance, and finally Absalom, through his chicanery, got closer to his father. And then finally, Absalom arranged a conspiracy to take the kingdom away from his father. And when there was this break among the subjects of Israel, some followed Absalom and some were faithful to David. Here was the mightiest counselor that God tells us anything about in the Old Testament. There is a counselor that has wiser counsel than his that's going to be born in the New Testament. But at this time, it says, the counsel of Ahithophel was as if a man inquired at the oracles of God. That is how infallible it was. He could look over a situation, and he could say, this is my counsel. And the Bible itself says that the counsel he gave was as if a man inquired at the oracles of God. You remember the Urim and the Thummim? And whenever a question was asked, then the counsel was given, the oracles of God, and you could ask Ahithophel, and it was as if a man inquired at the oracles of God. Now, think of David having this man on his side. David would not make a move, if it were going to be a proper move, without going and taking the counsel of Ahithophel. But now, this man who has been so faithful to David all these years, the moment that Absalom arises and draws away the people after him, immediately, Ahithophel turns coat and follows after Absalom. Why? Why, for the simple reason that Absalom is his grandson. Do you see? His daughter is Bathsheba. No, I'm wrong. The reason is because Bathsheba is his granddaughter, and this granddaughter had a child named Solomon, and all of it is involved in the kingdom. But what happens is this, that this granddaughter, Bathsheba, of Ahithophel, is one who has been violated, taken, seduced by David, and his grandson-in-law has been murdered, Uriah the Hittite. And one other thing, I want you to understand this, that also Ahithophel had a son, Amiel, Eliab, in the army. Now what did you think? Suppose you had a granddaughter, and she was happily married to a good husband named Uriah. And you saw, because David fell in love with Bathsheba, when a crisis arose, He said, I have to put Uriah the Hittite to death. And so here is one of the mighty men associated with Ahithophel's son, and David says, have him killed. What do you think this father might expect David to do if his son rose up and got in the way? You say, why, he would put Eliam, his son, to death. Why, of course he would. Think of one who is respected, this great leader in Israel, and yet so cunning, so deceitful, so murderous is he, that he might cover up his sin, he takes one of his mighty men and sacrifices him at the hands of the enemy. And one of his companions among the mighty men, one of the companions was Eliam, the son of Ahithophel. And so here, one of the mighty men is removed, and Ahithophel could say, my son could be next. And not only that, but he would never forget about Bathsheba and her violation, the way that David seduced her. And so here is Ahithophel, and he thinks of his son in the army, and he thinks of his granddaughter, and nothing is ever said. And David knows nothing about it. But just as Absalom is waiting for the proper time to murder Amnon, who violated his sister, so evidently Ahithophel is just waiting for this opportunity. And when it arises, Ahithophel leaves David, and he goes over and he gives counsel to Absalom. All of these things are understandable. And let me say this, that the counsel that he gave was vile, but at the same time, it was as if a man inquired at the oracles of God. If the Lord had allowed the counsel of Ahithophel to be carried out, then Absalom would have been king, and the kingdom would have been established under his hand. And David realized that. And as soon as someone came and said, when David was fleeing, Ahithophel had cast in his lot with Absalom, David said, oh God, confound, bring to naught the counsel of Ahithophel. Why? Because he knew all his life long the infallible counsel of Ahithophel. And God has, in his wisdom, given us the counsel that Ahithophel gave, and it was perfect counsel. He said, now, if you're going to take over the kingdom, this is what you have to do. You must completely alienate yourself from your father, because if you simply want the kingdom, and you're not successful, your father loves you so much. We know what he did when you murdered your brother Amnon. He loves you so much he would take you back again. But what about all of us who followed you? When your father takes you back, what will he do to us? He said, this is what you have to do. Your father has wives and concubines. Take some of your father's concubines, and in the open daylight upon the rooftop, go and lie with your father's concubine. You say, that is a horrible counsel. Why, it's infallible counsel. Because now the people say, why, Absalom utterly abhors his father. There can never be a reconciliation. And that's what Absalom did. The next step was this. Your father has to be destroyed. But you are not to destroy your father's army. The people care nothing about the army. The only thing the people care about is one man, that is David. He said, now you give me 12,000 men and send me out, and I will go upon your father when he is weak, when he is oppressed, and I shall go and I shall take him alone and kill him. And when he's dead, all the people that followed him will come back to you, and the kingdom shall be yours, and it shall be established. And I assure you that had his counsel been followed, that is precisely what would have happened. But David had prayed to God, and how good is God to this man who has disappointed him so many times. He says, bring the counsel of Ahithophel to naught. Confound the counsel of Ahithophel. And here is one that had cast in his lot with Absalom, and here is another that pretends to Hushai, and he also is a counselor, but his counsel was never as good as Ahithophel's. But he comes in and he says, wait, wait. He said, Ahithophel has been good in the past, but this time his counsel is not good. Now this is what you have to do. And then he gave the opposite instructions as to what Ahithophel gave. And Absalom and his followers said, The counsel of Hushai is better than that of Ahithophel. And they followed the counsel of Hushai, and when they did, all was lost. And before anything happened, it says Ahithophel knew it. Isn't that remarkable? He said, if you had done what I told you, but now I know what is going to be the next step. You're going to go out and fight against David, and you're going to be defeated. And not only that, but when he comes back, then I am going to be put to death. And so it says that Ahithophel went home and set his house in order and hanged himself. Why? He knew that he only had a short while to live anyway. And that is this remarkable man. Now, I think of him, and I think of some, like, who work for a man, and you have to overlook many things. You have to endure abuses. And so here is one who sees his son-in-law murdered, his grandson-in-law murdered, Uriah the Hittite, and he can say nothing. And he is the one who stands by the king and has to give him counsel. And yet he knows that he's standing by a murderer, and he can say nothing. Because when you have a despot, as in these days, you dare not say anything. Unless you happen to be a Samuel, and even Samuel was afraid. Unless you happen to have the heart of a Nathan, then you can say something to the king. But Ahithophel was a wise man. He was not known so much for his courage as his wisdom. And so he let time go by until the proper moment. And when Absalom rose up, he said, this is the time. And had Absalom followed his counsel, then all would have been well. But he did not follow the counsel. And so he saw his son-in-law put to death, his grandson-in-law. And he saw his granddaughter violated. And here is what I'm wondering. I'm wondering what he thought of his granddaughter. I want to tell you this, and you will have to ascertain it for sure for me. When Adonijah, after David is an old man, wants to be king, and he sets up his little monarchy for a little while, Bathsheba goes to David and says, did you not make me a promise that my son was going to be king? And David said, yes, I did. Well, now tell me, was this Solomon of whom she was speaking? Or was it that child that was born first out of wedlock and God struck and he died? It may very well be that this woman Bathsheba was not ravished by the king, but it may have been a very calculating woman who went in and said, look, I'm married. You understand, if I come into you and have a child, that child must be made king. And David agreed. He either agreed before concerning this child that died, or he agreed to Solomon being king. And so this was no simple, naive woman. She was a cunning, calculating woman. And I wonder what her grandfather, Ahithophel, thought of her. Because sometimes our children and our grandchildren disappoint us. Because there are some who will have nothing to do with a murderer who would say, how could you do this to my husband? But just think of that. A woman who would be unfaithful to her husband. And then when she knew that the man with whom she had been unfaithful had been the murderer of her husband, would marry him and go through life as that man's wife. And so here is Ahithophel, and indeed he is irked in heart, and he waits his time. And when his time came, had his counsel been followed, then the kingdom would have been changed. But God had made promises to David, and that is why God is a God of all grace, and it is an inviolable covenant. It is a covenant of salt, and even though there can be alterations and there can be variations, ultimately this covenant is going to be carried out. And that is what we have here. I cannot tell you anything about the grandparent of Athaliah, but that was Jezebel, Ahab and Jezebel. But here are reasons and here is behavior of people in the Word of God that did things that we think are inexcusable until we see what was done to their grandchildren. And then we begin to understand. All in the family, time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we do pray that when something that has been done that is wrong, that we shall stand up against that wrong. We remember when the king presumed to come in and offer incense, then the priests said, it is not lawful unto thee to do this. And at the risk of their lives, they drove him out of the temple. Help us, Father, to have that courage. Help us, O Lord, no matter how close we are to those that we love, help us to take a stand for the right. We remember what Asa did about the things that his mother did. And we remember also what Joash did concerning the things that his grandmother did. So thy son said, if any man follows me and puts father or mother or any loved one before me, he is not worthy of me. So Father, while remaining loyal as we can to those that are in the family, honoring our fathers and mothers, if honoring them dishonors thee, O God, then we know from thy word what step to take. So Lord, let us see these things and help us by thy grace not to look down and see children and grandchildren that disgrace us and do sinful things, that have a standard of holiness far below that which is ours, but may we see them as Lois and Eunice and Timothy going on in the Lord. Bless us, all the family of God, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.